This is CS50. Welcome to Amazing Web Apps with Ruby on Rails. So for anyone who's interested in web development and making websites, web applications, Ruby on Rails is this amazing tool that Twitter, GitHub, Groupon, and all sorts of really nice and big web applications are using in the last few years. And it's a really, really cool feature, a cool tool, because like, it's new, so it has all of the new powerful technologies incorporated into one framework that helps you build the all sorts of amazing things. But what is a framework? So a framework is basically something that creates, like, when you start a website, if you start it from scratch, like you open gedit there and you want to like code all of your HTML and code all of your PHP, all of your CSS, everything from scratch, like that's just going to be a lot of work. And a framework literally gives you half of a website done already. So you start off with half of a website that has everything there for you, like the database connections and all sorts of things that you have to worry about. If you're doing it from scratch, you don't have to worry about those low-level details. But today we're going to explore one of the websites that the freshmen of the class of 2017 are probably familiar. So this website is the website that I did for our class over the summer. It was just like a website where the students of the class of 2017 could log in and like interact with each other, and like this is a map of everyone, where people are, and we had like a book game, a songs game, where like we saw people's songs and people's books, what they like to read, what they like to listen to. And the most interesting part of it is that it literally took me like 3 hours to code all of it, because if I had to do everything from scratch, like opening up gedit, it would probably have taken me 20, 30 hours. But with Ruby on Rails, because everything was already set up for me, it only took me like 3 or 4 hours or something like that. So what is Ruby on Rails? Ruby on Rails, again, as I already said, is a framework. And framework, this is the picture of a framework. So you're going to start building a house. You already have half of the house done. That's the framework. And Ruby on Rails is exactly like that. You should think of it as you start a website, sorry, you start your web application, but you already have half of it done there. But first of all, what is Ruby? Ruby on Rails uses the Model View Controller, which is like Paradigm, which is a really interesting, and like all of the applications nowadays use something like that, this idea of separating things into three parts, the model, the view, and the controller. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. First, what is Ruby? So this is a Ruby, and this is the symbol of the language called Ruby. Ruby is one of the newish interpreted languages, so a script. It's a language that's not compiled like C, so it's compiled like on the run. So that's good, because just like PHP, for example, is also interpreted. It's not compiled like C. That's good because it's portable. So you just pass your code from one machine to another, from a Linux machine to a Windows machine to a macOS machine or something like that. And you don't need to worry about details regarding each of the specific operating systems. It's going to work everywhere. And Ruby is a language that you guys probably remember this. People used a hash function implemented in C for the hash table last week, and had all sorts of segmentation faults and things worrying about like whether that string I there, the string I here, was actually lowercase or uppercase, or these kind of worrisome low-level details. Well, in Ruby, if you wanted to implement a hash table, this is exactly how you create your hash table. You say dictionary, that's the name of my variable, equals hash new. And then dictionary foo, and that's when I'm adding foo to my hash table, I'm just saying foo is there. And then if I want to check if foo is there, I just say if dictionary foo equals true, return true. Whoa, and that's your hash table. That's the implementation of hash table in Ruby. So, I mean, everyone wished they could have used something like Ruby for last week's pset, right? And another, We have all sorts of reasons to want to use a language like Ruby. Ruby has gems. Gem Gem is the name for a kind of library in Ruby. So like all sorts of interesting features that you can have. For example, if I want to integrate my application, that Harvard 2017 application was integrated to Facebook. So you could log in via Facebook to the app. So if you're going to do that, you don't need to worry about sending some HTTP request to Facebook and waiting for their response and parsing the response and blah, blah, blah. You just download the Gem that does all of that for you. And then you don't need to worry about all of that. And then plenty of help online, of course. There are many, many, many websites that are going to help you both with Ruby and with Rails. And it is lots of fun to code, exactly because you can stop worrying about those not so fun problems, like if something is lowercase or uppercase, and why is this giving you a segmentation fault? And you can really dive into the very interesting stuff, dive into the really cool problems. So Ruby is just like C, in a sense. So it's not going to be that big of a jump, actually. So put s, that's our printf in Ruby. I think you could use print too, but put s is what everyone uses. So just put s, hello world. You could or you could not have the parentheses to encircling hello world there. It's you can just choose whether or not to use that. And then x equals 1, a while loop looks pretty much the same. It just has less syntax. It's kind of cleaner a little bit. And then if x greater than 25, put s big, and else put s small. And it's kind of C in that sense. So if you look at that, you can probably understand everything that's going on. But it's more powerful. More powerful, because more than that, it can do things that are not that sound kind of hackish a little bit and see that you couldn't just do with one line. For example, put s, I am, and that hashtag x thing. This is just syntax for put the value of x here and don't print the character x. And see, you have to do the percent %d and then put up the variable x after the comma here, something like that. And in Ruby, this is shorthand for just doing that. And then put s this if x greater than 3. So you can put the if all in the one line. And then a list. Lists in C, like an array, you have to keep track of how big your array is, otherwise you get a segmentation fault. Your array is only one type, so it's either an array of chars or an array of integers. In this case, I create a list here that's an array that has the first element is a string, John, and then 4, 2, those are integers. And then I just add list, the left angle bracket 3, that means just append something to my list. So it's kind of more interesting because if you wanted to use this as just a simple list of integers, you could, totally, that's totally fine, just put integers there. But if you want to do something that's more compelling, that has other things, that has, I don't know, all sorts of lists in there or other objects that are more interesting, you can totally do that, it's totally fine. And then if you want to iterate through the list, you could use the more C-ish kind of approach. That's a for loop. You initiate a variable I equals 1 or I equals 0. And then you go and iterate and get all of the elements. But you could also use this more Ruby-like approach. That's just like list.each. That's just saying, return me all elements of the list and do with each element, call them elem. So this is just a name that I'm giving to each element. And now this is going to repeat for all of the elements. And elem is going to be like the way that we access that single element. So you could totally stick to the C approach, but this works too. And it does exactly the same thing. Okay. And other than that, it's really, really easy to integrate Ruby and HTML since you guys are interested in web applications. HTML is definitely something they're going to use a lot. And here, if you want to put Ruby and HTML, just start here, angle bracket percent. That means here Ruby starts. And then percent angle bracket, kind of like PHP in that sense. Here Ruby ends. And then you can just put your if in here. And then I have some variable user.logged in. In Ruby, we usually add those either interrogation mark or exclamation mark, like a bang character, just to kind of distinguish between your functions. But that's like you just put that for your own sake. It's not something that's like changes anything in the functionality. So just to remind me that this is a function. And functions in Ruby Arden C, they don't need the, as I said already, they don't need the parentheses. So that logged in thing, that's a function, that's a method, but you don't explicitly need to put the parentheses in here. So just asking if the user's logged in. If the user's logged in, now HTML starts again. So div, welcome, and here I print the user.name, and that's it. And that's this is the end of the if. So that's pretty straightforward, how you integrate your Ruby with your HTML. And resources, as I said, there are all sorts of resources for Ruby. You guys can all look this up afterwards, because both the video and the slides are going to be available online. And now let's get into Rails. Okay, Rails is love. Rails, so Ruby is this language, okay, just like PHP, just like Python, or like it's a high-level language, so not like C is like a middle, low-level language, in the sense that Ruby doesn't, you don't have to worry about memory allocation and pointers and those kinds of things. But Rails is this program that was written in Ruby and that uses Ruby in order to have this framework for you to be able to build awesome web applications. And so you have to first install Ruby in your machine, but most machines already have that, and then install Rails on top of it. We're going to talk about that later. And why Rails? So MVC, that's the model view controller we talked about a little bit, makes everything simpler because it divides divides things that are conceptually different into different parts of your application. Less time spent on low-level problems again, and very, very popular right now. So for all those who are interested in the startup scene or in like something like starting businesses and people in the technology market, who are starting their own business right now, we're really, really fans of Ruby on Rails because it's so fast. So you can get something up and running in less than a day, and that's really a very compelling argument to use Ruby. And Rails 4.0, it's very fresh from the oven now. So Rails 4.0, I think first release was in March this year, and it's really nice. It has all sorts of new cool features. So Ruby on Rails is a framework that's been constantly being updated to have all of the new technology out there. The first time I tried to use Ruby on Rails, I had this trouble because I created my first web application and it looked exactly like that. So it creates all of those files for you, and I had no idea what is this. It created all those files, and I only wanted to create a simple program, a simple HTML like website, and I couldn't even do anything. So I was a little bit overwhelmed, but that's one of the things that you really, once you understand it, everything becomes so much clearer. So don't be overwhelmed by the first sight of what you create at first. So what happens is Rails creates all of those files. So one of that is doc documentation, DB that's related to the database, lib that's libraries, log, public, script, some things. Pretty much all you're going to worry about is the app folder up there. That's the folder that contains your application. All of the other files, some of them are important, and you're going to learn about that later, but they're just there to contain the framework, so the first cornerstones of the house you guys are building. Okay? But the app folder, that's the really important one. And the app folder has assets. Assets is pretty much everything that's coming, like images, for example. Everything that's static that's going to be downloaded to your website. So images, JavaScript, CSS, those kinds of things are assets. And controllers, we're going to talk more about what are controllers, models, and views in a second. And helpers are functions that you can use all over your code to help you do something, like functions like logged in, for example, user.logged in. That's a function that probably you have to use in all parts of your application, so you can put something like that in your helper. Mailers, that's if you want to use, if you want to send email to your users, you want to use a mailer. And models and views, we're going to talk about that right now. So the model view controller, that's the basic cornerstone of Ruby on Rails and of most frameworks nowadays, to be honest. So again, we separate all of our code into three different parts. The model. The model is basically the database. It handles things in the database. So each table in the database has a corresponding file within the model. So if you have a table for your users, okay, so you're storing the information like the username, their email, their address, their password, and things like that. You're going to have one file in the model called user.rb, RB for Ruby. And there you're going to have all of the methods and like the variables. The variables are going to correspond to the username, the email, and everything. And you're going to have the methods that will be like something concerning. You're going to handle this information in the database. To create a model with Rails, you just use Rails generate. And to create things and then like in Rails, you actually need the terminal. So it's a very terminal-based framework. You just log into the terminal and do Rails generate model. And the name of the model is user. And I just want to have two variables, two columns in my database, in my table. So that's email. Email is of type string. Password. Password is also of type string. Those are the only two things. It's kind of a simplistic user table. But you could totally put 100 things there if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And Rails also makes it very, very simple to have all sorts of database relations. So usually, when you have tables in your database, they're not very much independent of one another. Let's think about you want to buy and sell products online. Okay, so you have a website where you want to buy and sell products. So each user has many products that this user is willing to sell. And each user also has many transactions that are ongoing or something like that. Okay, and the transactions are with another user. So that transaction, each transaction belongs to two different users, the user that's buying and the user that's selling. So those are the so-called database relations. And here we have exactly those keywords, has many and belongs to. Those are the most important ones. And you're just going to say, for example, this is the example of a model in the Harvard 2017 website. Again, the students in here, each student on the website, student is a model, is a database table. Each student had many books, because you could say, like, what are your favorite books, right? So each book belongs to a student down here, right? And attribute accessible, that's just saying those are the variables here. Those are the variables accessible from this model. And the variables are the author of the book, description, journal, and title of the book. So just the information concerning the book. And here I have a method that simply sorts everything. So define and end here, that's just saying here comes my method. Self.sorted all, that's just give me everything sorted. And that's how you implement the sorting algorithm, which is fairly easy. But basically, this is how a model looks like. Okay. Does anyone have questions regarding like this database thing? Relations? Is that clear? Yes, please. The sort algorithm. Okay. So this is just when you get used to Ruby syntax, it's gonna be clear. But basically, LMs is book.all. So book is the name of my model. When you create a model, it comes with all sorts of nice methods for you. So .all is a method that returns all books. .find, for example, would search for one book and return that book or something like that. And so LMs is everything. And I'm just saying LMs.sort. Sort is a built-in Ruby function. And do AB. So this do, again, is you're going to sort. But you're going to get this argument from me. And the argument uses, this is one of the harder things in Ruby, actually, this do thing. But once you understand this, everything becomes very, very intuitive. So the AB is just saying the placeholders that I'm going to use, like the variables that I'm going to use, are going to be called A and B. And those are the books. So because sort needs to compare elements, remember that? So when you sort things, you compare two elements. I'm going to say that every time you're going to compare, so this is, I'm passing to sort an argument. And the argument is everything from do to end here. Okay. And this argument is just telling sort how to compare. Okay, sort would work here, but it would compare with their default comparing algorithm. I want it to compare in a very specific way, namely when the book was created, when each book was created. So I'm saying, say that the name of the first book is A and the name of the second book is B. I want sort to sort something based on B.createdAt, this weird symbol A.createdAt. And that weird symbol is shorthand for if one is bigger than the other, return 1. If one is equal to the other, return 0. If one is smaller than the other, return minus 1. So that's what that weird symbol does. Okay? But this is not that important. I mean, what I want you guys to get now is the idea, like the database, you can have the model there. So you don't have to worry about connecting and like using SQL statements and things like that. It can also create like doors to SQL injection and all sorts of security problems. In this case, you don't worry about that. You just use methods like book.all. And that, in the background, of course, it's going to your database and it's going to use a SQL statement to get all of the books, but you don't have to worry about that. That's the takeaway, okay? And when you have a belongs to statement like this, that means that once you have a book object, you can see what is its student. So which student has this book? So you can just use book.student and that gives you what the student is. And that's really a really nice feature to have. Okay, now the view. So the model is what interacts with the database, right? The view. The view is basically HTML and CSS and some JavaScript, and that's what the user actually sees. The user's not going to see your database, it's going to see some data from the database embedded in the view, right? And Ruby on Rails makes it extremely simple to make views. First, because it already creates it for you out of the box, a layout. A layout is basically something that if all of your pages have like a logo on top and I don't know, so some menu or something like that, that's all of your pages share in common, then you don't need to create many, many, many HTML files where all of the files have the same HTML code. I mean, that's dumb because you're just repeating code in among different files. That's definitely not a good approach. So Ruby on Rails creates this layout for you. And this is just saying, all of my pages are going to have this HTML, this head, title here, and those are style sheet link tag. This is just plug in here all of my CSS, plug in here all of my JavaScript, and some meta tags. That's just some things that they do automatically for you. And then and the head. Now here starts the body. And now this is my actual content. So if I wanted to put something like a menu here, I would put it right over this place or something like that so that all of my pages share this. So the layout is shared by all of the pages. And now the yield here just says no matter what page this is in, just plug in the content of that page in here. Okay. And now this is, for example, the content of one page that's going to be plugged into this yield statement. Okay, automatically by Rails. So this is a layout shared by all pages, and this is an example of one page. And this is exactly the page that lists all of the books. So this is a basic HTML table up top. So listing books, title, author, description, genre. And here we use, again, some Ruby syntax. At books.each, at is kind of, it says that your variable is global in a sense, because this variable was actually declared in the controller, which you're going to see right now. But just take for granted that this at books is a variable that's a list of all of your books, all of the books, okay? So books.each do, and again, this is just saying how do you want to name each of the iterators so that we don't have to worry about a for, int I, blah, blah, blah. We just take each of the elements and use them. So this is the book, and then just print here. Book.title, book.author, book.description, blah, blah, blah. And here's link to. So link to is just a link tag that the user can click on and go to another website. Link to show that particular book. So if the user is very interested in this book, then he can click on show or click on edit if he wants to edit the book, or destroy if he wants to delete the book from the database. Okay? Does that make sense? Good. Finally, the controller. So basically, the controller is the interface between the model and the view. So the model is a part of your code that has the database, like each table in the database has a respective file in the model, and so on. And how do the model and the view interact? So through the controller. What a controller does is it asks the model for something, like, for example, puts all of the books inside of a variable, like this one, @books. And it needs to be global with this @ thingy, because it's going to be accessed by the view. It's not going to be used within the controller itself. And it just loads the information that the view is going to use. So for example, the controller checks if the user is online. And how does it do that? It actually asks the model, because the model has the information about the user. It has the user's table, the books table, all of the tables. So the controller asks if the user is online. If the user is online, the controller handles things like putting a cookie or something like that to put the stamp to say that the user is online, no need to log in again. And it's going to load a variable that, called user, for example, that the view can use. And then the view can put something here, for example, welcome user.name. So it's going to say welcome John, welcome James, something like that, right? So all of those variables used in the view are going to be loaded in the controller and are going to be pulled up from the model. This is the example of a controller. So we have basically each, we call those things actions. So index is an action. It's a Ruby function. It's a Ruby method in there. But for the controller, it calls those things actions. And each action is related to a route. So in here, this route, for example, is a get statement to /books. So if you go to harvard2017.com/books, what's going to happen is this code is going to be called. Okay? And there is a file in the, let me open this real quick. Let me open the actual code. There is a file called route file. It's not opening. It's okay. So there is a file called the route file that basically matches. Oh, now it's opening. Here, routes. So basically matches a string, activation/new, for example, to something in the model, in the controller, I'm sorry. So there's this controller called activation controller, but up here we have the books, for example. So matches books/new to the controller books, the action new. So basically very straightforward things. And here if you had the get books/the ID of the book/new, you're going to go to that Ruby method out there. So here what this index is doing is just loading book log. That's something that I logged all of the books in a log and sorted all. So this is going to return all the sorted books. This is, again, in the database. So this is a method of the model. You saw this method being created in the model. Now, this is just loading all of the books and putting that in a variable that can be seen by the view. Because you cannot, in the middle of your HTML code, you cannot call something directly from the model. Because for two reasons. First, for security reasons, because it's not really interesting to be loading information directly inside of your HTML that's in the database. And second, to keep your code really organized. Okay, so separate conceptually different parts. So book log that sorted all. This in the database, this is going to put into a variable @books, and now this variable is accessible within your HTML code. So you can just put all of the books there just like we did, right? Oh, where was it? Here. This is the variable. And this is just respond to do format. This is just a kind of Ruby syntax for if the user is asking me for HTML code, I'm going to respond with HTML code. If the user asks me with JSON code, which is something that web apps use to communicate between themselves, they usually use JSON or some other kind of thing. So it just responds using those two different formats. But for a normal user, this wouldn't even need to be here. This is just, you just use respond with HTML and that's fine. So don't really worry that much about this. This is the only line of code in our controller. It's just loading information from the database, putting in something that's accessible by the view. And then new. So here I'm creating books. But to create books, I need a student because I need to know what is the student whose books this belong to, right? So add student equals student. Student, again, we're starting with a big S, is the model student. Okay, so this is the model student. This is the model book log. Student.find. So I'm going to find a student using the parameters ID. Params ID, this is just get me the value of this ID that was passed in the and the URL. Okay, so just going to search for that student. And first, we're going to check if the student has some songs and blah, blah, blah. And this already handles the case when the student doesn't exist, for example. And then else, we just respond to same thing using HTML. And then we can let the user create their songs. So this is new. New is usually used for let the user create something. And then there's the create action that's usually used for actually put the songs in the database or something like that. But once you start using Rails, those things are going to be much, much more clear. OK, cool. Any questions so far? Does it make sense with controllers, models, views? Yeah? Again, in your Ruby, in your Rails application, so all of that can be found in here. So you have app, controllers. Those are all of my controllers. So for example, books controller, that's the one we saw, just saw. And then views. And each controller has an associated view, right? So automatically, when you call this index here, for example, or when you call this books new, then the view books new is going to be called. So Rails does it everything automatically for you. So just every controller has an associated view. And all of the models, here I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 models. So this is the student model. So those are the variables that all of the students have, localization, date of birth. Student is a little bit more complicated because each student has more different method associated to it. But this is just handling the table that has all of the students in the database. Yeah. And OK, installing Rails. Installing Rails, to be honest, is not the simplest thing. But once you get past this, everything is very, very easy. So installing Rails, you just go to the website, rubyonrails.org/download, and follow their instructions there. Download everything. And you can do that either in an appliance, in the CS50 appliance, on Windows, on Mac, or on any operating system of your choice. Ruby on Rails runs on everything. Odds are you already have Ruby installed if you have a Mac or in the appliance. I think Ruby is installed. I'm not sure. And then you just have this installed. And if you want to create a new web application, you just do Rails new blog. Rails new, I don't know, the name of your website. And it's that simple. It's going to create all of those files I just showed you. But the model, the view, and the controller are not going to be populated yet. You're just going to have to go there and populate those three folders. So odds are you want to create a model, for example. Implement one model first. So again, always trying to bite smaller bits of a problem at a time. And then let's say create a model for your users. That's the first thing. If you have users, then I want to create a model just like we showed here. Rails generate model user, and then email string. We had that here. and just create that model. Yes, Rails generate model user email string password string. And then you create a controller that already has, that deals with the user, and you can create new users and do those kinds of things. And then you can move on to creating the rest of your website. Cool. Questions? Yes?
I'm confused about what the view is. Is that something that you ever have to code in? Or is this
yes, yes. You definitely have to code in the view. It's a very good question. So the view is what actually contains your HTML. So it's what the users are going to see. Again, here, this is an example of a view. It has HTML code and Ruby code at the same time. So the Ruby code is there to put things from the database, for example, that were loaded at the controller. So that variable at books, for example, it has all of the books and the table books at the database. We made sure that it had that in the controller. And the view, each of the pages of your website is going to have one associated view. So if you go like to the home page, like the very first page, go harvard2017.com, that shows one page. And then you go to /profile. That's going to go to a controller. That's the profile controller. And the profile controller is going to give you the profile view. And the profile view is going to look somewhat like this, but it's going to have real information about the user and not about the books. So it's HTML code and CSS and then those things that a user sees with the Ruby code on it that actually prints things from the database. Is that more clear? I hope. The Ruby code gets converted to HTML. So what the user gets is only HTML, okay? It's only HTML. This book.title is going to get converted to the value of book.title in HTML, okay? So this is all in the server, and so this depends on what books are there in the server right now. But what the server automatically sends is only HTML code, okay? But the view just gives the layout of what the HTML code is going to look like and what the variables are going to be. Okay, this is kind of a printf. Okay, those things are basically printfs. They're going to print variables. Okay, so what is only HTML, those author, title, description, gender, that's static content. That's not going to change. That's just plain HTML code. Those are the printfs for variables, things that depend. Okay. Cool. More questions? Good? Yes.
So I think you were doing all the editing in like a different text editing program. Should we also download that?
Yeah, I like this text editor called TextMate. And it's really good. It's well suited to Ruby. It colors things very neatly. So TextMate, T-E-X-T, I'm going to put that online. I mean, you can use gedit or anything that you want, but this is specific for Mac, and this is really neat because it puts all of your files down there, and in Ruby on Rails, you need to switch files a lot, so it's many, many files. You just go from one file, jump from one file to the other, so TextMate is a very good one, but there are plenty out there, yeah? More questions? It's fine. Okay. Yes?
Is there like a mobile development through Ruby on Rails?
I've heard of things. I haven't used them. You could research more on that. I'm not sure if there's any good thing out there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Not Rails, probably Ruby already.
Okay, where can one?
Yeah, open up a terminal window and type Ruby.
Okay.
Yeah, probably, and then you just have to install Rails. But if you're gonna install the new Rails 4.0, which I highly recommend, you should download the Ruby 2.0. That's the new one too. And the new Ruby 4.0 has something really cool that it does to the assets. Like it handles assets. Assets again are images, CSS files, and JavaScript files. So one really neat thing that Ruby on Rails does for you is all of those CSS files that you have and like everything, it just bundles everything up into one huge file with no spaces or anything, just to minimize the time that the user needs to download that code from your server. So when you see it in your computer, it's gonna have like 15 CSS files or many, many different CSS files. But at the end of the day, what Rails automatically does for you is it puts everything together into one huge file so that it minimizes the request time. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yes?
On the website of the 2017 class, there was a map, Google Map integrated with all the people.
Exactly. So Google Map integration, that's a JavaScript API from Google. So I just went to the Google website. They have this Google Maps API, and I downloaded the code and integrated it into my view. So what I needed to do there is I needed to download to get the locations from the database. That was done in the controller. So I went to the controller. Where's the controller? The controller looked like this. Got all of the locations of the students, put all of that into a big variable, a big list, that has all of the locations. And in the view, because the JavaScript API is something in the view, right? Because JavaScript runs within your HTML code. It's going to be sent to the user, to the user's machine. And in the view, I loaded all of that information into the Google API, and it did all of that for me, which is really cool. But if you want to use things in the back end, that's like a library, for example, the integration with Facebook, that's something that many, many, many apps are using nowadays. So have your integration with Facebook because it's so much easier to just log in with Facebook than to create an account and blah, blah, blah. Then you just use a gem, and it's as simple as going to your gem file. Gem file is a file called gem file in the source directory of your Ruby on Rails project. Just go there and add a new gem, and you look it up on Google. There are many, many, many gems. There's one specifically that specifically does this for Facebook integration. I'm not sure what's the name of it, but just Google it and you're gonna find it. Okay, more questions? Awesome. Thank you for coming.